Hey, what is up, you guys? It is Brandon, host of Stay Jesus Strong podcast. And today for our second podcast, I already have a guest. He's my best friend. We work together. His name is Micah Benavidez. I hope I say that well. But I'm going to just let him take a moment. We're going to dive in a second. I'm going to tell you guys a little bit more about what today's show is all about. But I'm going to let Micah kind of introduce himself, tell a little bit about himself, and then we'll go from there.
So like Brandon said, we're best friends. It's going on 6 years. Yeah. So Brandon came as a resident to Eastside here at the church we work at. And I was already in my first year. We just kind of hit it off pretty quickly. And so we've just been doing youth ministry the last almost 5 years. And so, yeah, it's just been a fun ride. I do have a wife. I'm married, and yeah. I had my first kid back in August, so she is 6 months old.
Izzy J.
Yes. She's pretty awesome, so I've been loving the new, I guess, responsibility of fatherhood, even though it's lack of sleep. And it's funny, I was talking to Allie when we went out for Valentine's Day, and I was like, what do you love most about being a parent now? And she's like, well, it feels like responsibility and like fun and love came up to like a whole nother level. Like it wasn't like this one went up and like love and fun like went away, but it was like more responsibility, more fun, more love. And I think that's like the best way to describe becoming a new parent, new dad. So yeah.
I love that. Well, today we're going to be shifting gears a little bit. It's not going to be about fatherhood, but sounds like another podcast.
yeah, for sure.
But you know, over the years of getting to know Micah and spend time with Micah, he, at least for me, has a very unique story, a very, difficult past. And, you know, when I was praying and deciding what I was going to do for our next episode and what I wanted to talk about, you know, I believe, right now for a lot of people, trauma is a common word that comes up. And I know with Micah's story, unfortunately, he has a lot of trauma that he's had to overcome. And so we're going to be talking about Micah and the trauma that he has gone through, how he's overcome that trauma. And then also, I think the even stronger question beyond that is, how has he stayed the course and kept going? And so we're kind of just rattling off. So I don't know where he's going to go, but we're going to find out. So Micah, I just want you to kind of dive in and maybe talk about, you know, where did it start for you, where trauma like start to become like maybe the realization that, oh man, I'm in a really bad situation, you start to understand like this is probably going to be with me for a while.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I really like, it's weird because like growing up, like, you know, I just thought my life was normal. Like it wasn't like, oh, I'm experiencing trauma as a kid when I was a kid, but it was like, as I got older, probably early 20s, 21, probably around the time I met Allie, really, is when I really started to see like, oh crap, like my life was pretty different from a lot of people. Worst case scenarios for the majority of my life. So, I don't know. It just seemed like it was normal. And then until I was about like 20, 21, I started to realize like probably tendencies, something we've been learning, like, all right, why do I do this? What's causing me to act a certain way, to feel a certain way, or just not feel things at all. And I think through that, like, is when I really started to discover like, oh crap, I'm in some deep trouble. And I think with ministry, like it comes out of you. Like, it's not like I could work like a 9-to-5, at Value City, you know, and nobody can see it. Nobody can, right. I'm not really doing life with a lot of those guys or
Yeah, it's clock in, clock out.
Yeah, it's and it's like passing by. Yeah. They don't really know me. They might know of me, bits and pieces of my story, but like in ministry, as you're leading and as you're working with people, it just comes out. Like, I mean, and I think that's with maybe with the majority of jobs, not just maybe ministry, but when you're working with people and you are constantly working with them, your tendencies, your behaviors, your actions, patterns start to come out and you start to see them a lot often or a lot more.
And what was, you know, you said when you got with Allie, you started to realize that, man, like my past is not as normal as I thought. No one else kind of lived that life. What was like maybe as much as you're willing to share, like what was one of the like maybe first or two things that came to mind? Like, man, now that I think about it, that situation I went through, that was pretty traumatic. And yeah. That has lingered with me for a long time.
Oh, I think, man, I think, so I guess it's kind of like two. So I think when it came to my stepdad and even my grandfather being alcoholics and abusive and because when me and Allie started dating, like if she wanted to have a beer, I would freak out. Like I would be like, what's going to happen? What's going to go on? Like, you know, and she was just like, what do you mean? Like, well, you know, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I was like, I don't know how to explain to you. Like, but like for the longest time, if someone drank, there's something bad that was going to happen. Like it wasn't like, you know, and she would tell you like, oh yeah, like mom and dad would have wine like once a month over dinner or something like that. And it's just like, nope, wine was like a no-go, you know, like stay away from that stuff. Cause then here comes the hateful comments, the putting you down or there's just the physical abuse of that came with it. And I think that's what's like, oh crap. I was like, okay, it's not normal. And what Allie maybe experienced was a little bit more normal.
Yeah.
Because there was a balance, right? Like
you could steward it well and enjoy the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I learned that a lot just by being with Allie and understanding like, oh, it's not that. I mean, it's not terrible. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not like,
yeah,
all right, it's basically black and white. Like alcohol is bad.
Yeah.
It's like, no, if you use it in excessiveness, then all this other stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's damaging.
Now, weren't you, I remember you telling me the story and you always thought it was funny. I didn't think it was funny. I laugh a little bit more now, but weren't you at like a party and like, it came to you and like you realized a little bit more like how uncomfortable you were with drinking. And that's kind of like where the conversation like sprouted with you and Allie.
Yeah. So me and Allie were, I think it was after B-dubs or something. She grabbed beer and I'm like freaking out, you know. I just feel uncomfortable and I'm trying to explain to her and she doesn't have another perspective to understand from my side. So it's like, all right, well, what's the best way that I know how that I could share the experience? And I was like, well, there's some friends from high school that I knew are probably still in the party stage. And so, I was like, all right, Allie, let's just go here. We're not going to do anything, but like, I just want you to meet some of my friends, but also get you into the environment what I'm used to almost. And I, like the moment we walked in, you know, of course everybody's like, Micah, Allie, you know, and they're excited to see me and her. And then, you know, all this stuff like drinking games, you know, all this party stuff is going on. And when we left, Allie was like in shock. And she was like, yeah, I had no idea like what I was getting myself into, but I've never experienced anything like that. And I was like, okay. I was like, this was like normal for me.
Yeah.
Not just in school and the party life, but even at home, chaos, the different things that are going on. And it was just weird. And I think that led to, so that's why I say it was like two parts of like trauma is like, because of all those situations that happened, led to a different type of trauma. And I wouldn't say like, so like my, and it, so it led to me and my mom and older brother moving out of my grandparents' house. And we got our own place. And of course, like a month into it is when I found out my mom has same-sex attraction, or, you know, and the way I found out was pretty traumatic. Like,
yeah.
I come in and she's on the couch, you know, with another woman. I'm just like, what is going on? You know,
yeah.
and I say that's kind of one and the same, is because like because of all that stuff happened, it made even my mom question a lot of things, which then drove her, you know, out of that house into her own place. And then now my mom's really trying to figure out all the things that she's going through.
Yeah.
Has gone through.
Yeah.
And so
still doing it.
Yeah.
Right now.
Oh,
currently. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that was for sure. And it was funny, like whenever me and Allie shared on our second date our stories and the similarity of parents having the same sex attraction, we laughed because I knew it was so unnormal, but it felt so funny because I found somebody that could relate to me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, I don't know if she felt the same way, but so yeah, that was, yeah, but I think, yeah, around 2021 is whenever I started to realize, when me and Allie were dating, I was like, all right, my life really wasn't that normal as I thought it was.
You know, I think for people and trauma, you know, I'd like to say maybe I have some, and the reason I would like to say that I do is because I want to make sure that I'm actually, you know, dealing with it. You know, my brother and sister, and I know they're going to listen to this, so I'm not bashing you guys, but, you know, they had some pretty wild experiences, and, you know, my trauma was kind of like just secondhand. Like, I mean, it was never directly towards me, but it was always like watching through the lens of like what they were going through, and it kind of like pouring out into my life. My brother, super rebellious. I mean, he has one of the strongest mouths on him. he loves to make sure that people know, like, or at least in the past, that if he disagreed with you, you're going to hear about it. And a lot of times that was him and my dad. And there was like a whole lot of tough experiences at home, like watching them get in fights, and even physically like get in fights. And then also then my sister, who got pregnant in high school, like right before that, was already struggling at some capacity. And I don't even know what that fully was, but like drank in school during class, got caught. And then I don't know how much longer it was or how later it was of, you know, her getting pregnant in high school and having Emma. But I just remember like watching their misery and it just pouring out into our life. And like, it's interesting because for the longest time I was like, you know, that had no effect on me because I wasn't the one who went through it. And now, like, the older that I've become, the more self-discovery I've done, I'm just like, man, that actually had a lot more impact than what I actually like to believe. I think right now, like, as awareness is, like, developing my life, I would say, like, this is maybe the last year and a half I've actually understood that that was something, like, traumatic in my life that I've experienced. You know, I don't necessarily... or I haven't necessarily created the game plan or done much about it, because there's other things, like just personally, that I'm just trying to walk through right now and give focus, because I don't think the impact was huge, but I know it's there and most certainly don't want to let it linger and not do anything about it. But because I don't have that experience, you know, I've watched you over the past 6 years now really dig and wrestle and fight, trying to just like understand what does it mean to navigate literally what feels like situation after situation that you've gone through. What does it look like to actually like work through that and, you know, come to the other side to where you can be like, man, like, God, that was terrible. But your word is true in Romans 8:28, that you do actually sort things out that are like extremely terrible to like be good for those who love you and that are called according to your purpose. And so I feel like, you know, you embody that in like the way that you live more than you actually talk about it. But I think for like anyone listening, like who's maybe going through it, maybe on the side that I am, they haven't like really understood how to navigate. What has been the thing that's helping you overcome? And I would say I've seen you do it more like in the last 2 years, but what have been those things that have helped you overcome your trauma?
Man, so I want to bring up a verse then that, you know, and it's from Psalm 51, which is like my favorite psalm. But yeah. In Psalm 51, verse 17, it says, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise." And when I think like what has helped me kind of work through that is knowing, all right, it's okay for me to be broken. Like, it is completely okay. Like, I wasn't meant to be perfect, you know? And it, as far as like, after the fall of man, of course, you know, like everybody has these broken pieces. But the great thing is like, for me, as I go in, like you said, to different situations in my life, and it seems like every other month there's something new that God has revealed to me, or I have flashbacks of my past. I'm like, man, why did I experience that? What is that? How does that play in how I'm acting today? But it allows me to be okay with my brokenness and then come to God completely humbled and be like, God, here I am. I know you're not turning me away. Like, this is all I have to offer. It's not like I can offer you like my perfect life or my deeds or anything like that. It's like, God, like, hey, here I am. I'm just coming to you because I'm completely broken. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know how to fix this, right? Like, here's what's been brought to me that's been made aware. And now, God, I know because of your years past, right? Because over the last years, I've just really learned this, like, you're not going to run away from me. You're not going to leave me. Mm-hmm. And you're going to help me walk through this. I think that's the biggest thing, is just like the realization of like, all right, God, like, you're not going to leave me above everyone else that has or hasn't, everyone that has hurt me or hasn't hurt me. Like, God, like, you're the only person that knows my heart, knows exactly what I've been through. I mean, to the deep detail that I don't even know, right? Like, it's like, once you start like, going back through, for me, like, once I start going back through childhood, like, small details start to pop back up later on that were pushed down.
That you weren't even
made
aware of.
Every detail. And I know, if I just come to him exactly how that verse says, broken spirit, you're not going to despise me. You're not going to run away from me. You're here to help. You're here to walk me through this. So that, just kind of what you were saying in Romans, like, every little piece can now be made for good.
Yeah. And so it sounds like one of the first steps and one of the primary to like actually create momentum for you to start to face and like deal with trauma is, you know, understanding God's character and where he's been in the past, that he's actually protected you in ways that maybe you didn't realize. But now that you're on the other side of him, you're like, man, like, God, you are faithful. You didn't walk away. You were right over me. And now it makes sense how you were right over me. But even more than that, understand God's character and be okay and honest that you are broken, but don't be okay to like stay there. Like, use it as awareness to be like,
exactly,
God, this is how I'm coming to you.
Yeah.
And this is the way it is. And I'm coming as I am. But I'm coming to you because I don't want to stay in my brokenness.
Yeah.
And so it's like who God is and then awareness and being okay, I am broken.
Yeah, because like, you know, once I really start to understand who God is and what he wants to do in my life, he wants to take the sadness, right?
Mm.
And then give me peace.
Yeah.
He wants to take and exchange all these broken pieces and then give me peace of himself.
Yeah.
A piece of joy.
Yeah.
Of kindness, gentleness, you know, all these different things that the fruit of the Spirit is. Like, God wants to give that to me. And the only way that for me that I found myself to really receive those things is like, all right, God, here I am. Here's this broken piece of me. Help me understand so that I can now receive what you really have for me.
Yeah. And now, you know, there's the aspect of you've overcome a lot of this trauma that you've been through. And I know that you're still walking through a lot because there's multiple things that you're going to discover. But I think about like the other side, like you've like stayed the course, even when it's become like wavery. And it seems like extremely tempting just to get off to the sideline and be like, I'm going to rest my feet and like chill out. Like I'm done. Like I'm just wore out. But like you've stayed the course. And when I think about like overcoming things, like my mind always goes back to like staying the course. And, you know, what has been the thing? Because I know for me, like coming back to, even the podcast name of Stay Jesus Strong, like it's the new mantra for me to just be like, it's just a reminder to myself, like I'm not sufficient on my own. God, you carry me. So in order to even stay the course, it's not my feet that are actually like carrying myself. It's through every step and every will of whatever direction I'm going to go. God, it's like your power that carries each tempo of me, like being able to move forward and to keep going. And I have to go back to that. Like, and now it's like even more than like, it's not just daily. It's moment by moment that I'm going back to this.
Oh, yeah.
Because like it is right now in the season of losing my dad. It is extremely tempting just to be like, man, I'm going to rest my feet. And like, God, like,
I'm out.
I don't want to stay the course.
Yeah.
So what is the thing for you that's helped you stay the course and that you go back to often to remind yourself, all right, I'm not checking out and I'm not going to quit. And,
you know, I think it's part of, now that I think about it, like even more, like I think it is understanding God's character. And like, I brought this thing with me.
I laughed when he brought it because of how antique it looks. It looks like something my grandma would keep in her house.
Well, actually this was in the, first floor of the church in one of the rooms. I think at room 122 or something. And when I first started ministry here, I would work in that room by myself and this would be hung up on the wall and I would read it just about every day I started. And since that time, this is like became like a reassurance that kind of what has helped me work through my trauma, that God's still here, always going to be here. You know, I think when the time comes for me to retire from ministry, if that's even a thing, right? Like, I don't,
yeah.
I think when the time has come, like, God will make it known. But until then, this has kind of been the staple to kind of help me stay on the path. And I'll read it. So it's called The Road of Ministry. It says, as you travel this special road of ministry, may the Spirit of God surround you. Always remember that the Lord has promised to be there, whether you're in a valley or on the mountaintop. His hand will guide you and protect you from harm as long as you stay close to his side. If you should get ahead of him, he will humble you. If you should falter, he will encourage you. His grace will be sufficient for you to carry out the ministry he has anointed you to walk in. His blessings will follow you wherever you go. And I just remember, like, every morning, I remember for, like, probably, like, the first year of ministry, I would go in and I would read that. Because, you know this, and a lot of people in ministry know this, like, ministry can be lonely if you let it be. And that was just a constant reminder. And so regardless of the trauma I'm trying to work through or the situations in life, and it may feel very lonely, I go back to the character of God. Hey, all right, God, did I get ahead of you? Is this part of you just humbling me? Like, okay, God, now, God, I've messed up. Can you just encourage me? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's like, if I take that poem, you know, kind of like section by section, it's like God has been there when I'm at the top in the valley. And I love that it says, like, for you to walk in. He's anointed you to walk in it. It's not to run it. It's not to, you know, jog it. It's just to simply walk with God.
Yeah.
And I think that's been a great reminder, like, okay, God, let me slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with that, it's become easier to figure out maybe more of my tendencies, more self-awareness.
Yeah.
Because I'm not trying to run ahead of God. I'm just like, okay, day by day, let's just figure out what's one thing that you want to exchange, right? That's broken in me, that you want to heal, that you want to make something new out of.
Yeah.
That's so, yeah.
Man, I love that. And, you know, I think for anyone listening, you know, you can simply replace that word. You know, for you, it's pastor, that's your ministry. But, you know, for anyone else listening, I mean, it could simply be, I'm working at Kroger and I bag groceries, and God has given me that as a ministry because I get to encounter at least 600 people a day and bag their groceries. Or, you know, I work at a hair salon, or I run a business, or I'm in leadership, and maybe you're in government, or maybe you're somewhere at a higher level that you have a lot of eyes on you and you're kind of leading the way. Or maybe it's simply in your home, right? With your family. Like, that's my first ministry and your first ministry of, like, you know, what does it look like to understand, how God is walking with us, so that each day we wake up, it's just little by little that we're kind of moving in the direction of, you know, overcoming the fact that there's been a lot of bad things that have happened to us out of our control, but we serve a God who wants us to stay the course, wants us to overcome, and also wants to be on the other end to rejoice with us and celebrate yeah. the fact that he took something that was so broken and mended it and made it whole.
Yeah.
Dude, I think that's awesome. Even though I don't like the picture frame, I think you should get it framed somewhere
oh, yeah,
else.
I need it. Yeah.
You know, if you were to say, and this is now, as I have guests on, and I told you this would be the one question I prepare you for. If you would say right now, Micah, today and moving forward, what is the thing that is helping you stay Jesus strong? And I explained this in the first podcast of just, like, it simply just means I'm insufficient, but God, you are sufficient enough to carry me. So it's through your strength that I can keep going.
Yeah.
What is the thing that's helping you do that?
You know, I think it's I can't remember the verse. I was trying to think of the verse. I know it's in John, but it's when Jesus says, like, they will know that you're my disciple depending on, like, how you love them. And I think for me, how I'm staying Jesus strong is with close relationships, like God's community, like God's people, like every step of the way, walking through trauma, mm-hmm. right? You've been there.
Yeah.
Rachel's been there.
Yeah.
You know, BG, you know, all these different people in my life that God has placed, right? It's not like they just randomly showed up.
Yeah.
And I think that's been a consistent thing in my life. Like, there's always been somebody or a community since I've started walking with God that has, like, all right, Micah, hey, we're going to get through it. let's go, keep going, one step. You know, I think my grandmother, big person that part of my story.
Warrior.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, got a place here in my life to walk with, to help me keep saying, like, hey, keep going. That's all right.
Yeah.
And so I think when I think of like Jesus strong, what's keeping me like staying Jesus strong? I mean, it's the people around me.
Yeah.
The people that have loved on me relentlessly, that haven't gave up on me, that haven't looked down at me, you know, all these different things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Dude, I love that. And, you know, I think for anyone listening, that one is going to be a huge one for a lot of people. And if it's not, it might be the challenging thought of like, do I have people in my corner? Do I have godly community that's helping, you know, keep me in check, but also encouraging me and lifting me up when I'm down in the ditch? And so I think for anyone listening, the best advice I could give you right now, not only everything that Micah shared, but, you know, you should find godly community at some capacity.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know I can agree time and time again, if it were not for the people placed in my life strategically by God at the right time, I don't know where I would be.
Yeah.
And I most certainly would be in this seat probably talking about Jesus. I don't believe I would be. And so I think that's great. And so with that, I want to thank everyone for listening to the Stay Jesus Strong podcast. I hope you felt encouraged. I hope you felt like you can just take something away and maybe start some progress or movement in your trauma and maybe what you're going through right now. But I want to say, please, the cheesy thing, I said it last time, subscribe, like, share, if you were encouraged by it. But I, again, want to thank everyone for listening. I'm excited. I've got more guests that are going to be coming on and, more amazing episodes to be able to just continue to talk about Jesus and hopefully encourage those that listen. So, thank you for listening to the Stay Jesus Strong podcast, and I will see you guys in the next episode.